Get ready to get blitzed on the Blitz podcast at thehuddle.com with your hosts Steve Gallo and Harley Schultz.
Welcome back to the Blitz podcast, and thanks for joining us on our first holiday episode of the year. And that holiday, of course, is Thanksgiving. And trust me, this guy's no turkey, but he is my partner in crime, Harley Schultz. How's it going, my man?
Chestnuts roasting on an wrong holiday.
Yeah.
This is Thanksgiving, and unfortunately, Thanksgiving seems a little bit weird this year, as pretty much everything does.
It does.
But I mean, we still need to give thanks for that which we have, which is, at least for the current week, a chance to win some money playing fantasy football.
And that's not a bad thing. So I have to ask, because you started singing that song, Chestnuts, fan or no?
You know, I'm trying to think if I've ever had just a pure chestnut before.
Oh, you're missing out.
I like hazelnuts. But now, so tell me, how are chestnuts different than filberts?
Oh, yes.
Okay. Then I'm sure I've had a chestnut.
So do you know what
I don't know if I've ever had a roasted chestnut.
Okay. So do you know what a chestnut looks like?
Yes.
Okay. So it's the big brown thing. I guess it's about a half dollar size from around this standpoint. So they remind me of course, my childhood, because my grandmother used to make roasted chestnuts all the time. Basically what you do, so if you want to do this, I don't know the temperature, you can look it up on Google, but she would, like, I guess, put a knife, like, slice in the middle so that air could escape so it wouldn't blow up, I guess. Mm-hmm. And then she'd put them on a cookie sheet and she'd put them in and she'd, you know, roast them in the oven or whatever for who knows how long she did that, but that's what she would do. And then you peel them and you eat them. And they're kind of meaty. It's soft, right? It's not a hard nut when it's that way. It's a little softer, but they got real nice taste. And then what happens is as they get old, then you can get some that are like hard. They actually, like, you got to struggle to bite them. They're almost like hard rock candy or something. Those have a place too where you can kind of suck on it a little bit and chew on it a little bit and whatever. But no, I'm a fan of chestnuts. I might have to try and see if I can get Anna to make me some this year.
Interesting. Can you make those into a pie, like a pecan pie, but with chestnuts?
I mean, look, people make some weird crap, so I don't see why you couldn't, but I'm a meat and potatoes kind of guy. Like, peach tea is when something's weird, I'll call it peach tea, right? Because what I mean is, when I have tea, I want tea. If I want a peach, I'll eat a peach. So.
But how are you then on, say, lemon flavored tea?
Well, that's a condiment that you add to it. So, like, but generally speaking, no, I would not normally add lemon to my tea either. I'm a sweet tea kind of guy. But adding a little lemon to it, that's like, you know, putting a wedge of lemon in a Coke or whatever. I don't know. But no, for the most part, if it's like kiwi, strawberry, banana, no thank you.
Well, and I do believe that there is currently a version of the popular hard tea. I can't think of the name of it now.
Mike's?
That is actually the liquor.
Oh.
I can't think of the name of it for the life of me. And it's made, there's one that's flavored like sweet tea, there's one that's flavored like just regular tea, and there's one that's flavored like peach-flavored tea.
Yeah. So the reason the peach tea comes to mind when I say that stuff, my wife and I were visiting my mother one year, and it was probably, we go up for the holidays, so it would have been holiday time. And I was like, she's like, you thirsty? You want something? I'm like, yeah, you know what? I am thirsty. She's, well, there's some tea in the fridge. So I go in the fridge to get myself, pour myself a nice big tall glass of what I anticipate to be sweet tea, because that's all my family ever would have. And
I did just think of what I was thinking. Now, Jeremiah Weed.
Gotcha.
It's the popular, it's a vodka that is flavored like tea.
I gotcha. So I go pour a big glass and I take a big gulp and I'm like, oh, it's almost like, you ever have root beer, forget that you had root beer, take a drink, think you're getting Coke or something like that, and it's like, it's horrible because you weren't expecting it?
Well, I actually have a great story about that, but I'll tell that a later time. Most of our listeners know I'm in the draft beer industry, so I'm familiar with cross-contamination of product lines.
Yeah.
And I went into a place once that had root beer going through a soda line, and it was really disgusting. But yeah, continue.
Okay. I'm going to go on a side rant now, because you know those soda machines that have like 18,000 flavors in them?
Oh, yeah.
They are the devil's concoction. The only thing that I can get out of those that tastes half decent is root beer, because then everything else tastes tainted. Oh, I hate them. They're horrible.
Well, no, I can understand your thing there. And typically, those machines are cleaned only once every 5 or 6 months. And that's if the Coca-Cola representatives or whoever is handling the particular machine model is actually going through and doing that cleaning process.
Yikes. That's all I'll say. Yikes. Well,
you don't want to know about bar guns then.
No, I don't. And actually, look, hey, I was in the commercial cleaning industry for a while. You don't want to know about fridges in restaurants and back of house stuff. Like if you're somebody,
I've seen more than my share.
Yes, you have, because you're in the business in a sense. But if, for anybody out there, if you've never been back of house, you don't want to go back of house, because it'll make it hard for you to eat out at places again.
Well, and if you are back of house or you work in the restaurant industry at home at all, and you happen to be listening to us, I would send out a please, please, please stop storing open meat in your beverage coolers.
Oh, God. Yeah. Okay. So, look, we opened up talking about Thanksgiving. One of my favorite things is to go back for seconds. I like a double helping on Thanksgiving Day. So, with that said, I think this week we should have a double dose of DFS. What do you think?
Well, that makes sense, because on Thanksgiving we get the Dallas Cowboys and we get Zeke. And, you know, he likes to be fed more and more and more.
Okay, sounds good to me. But before we can do anything that has to do with DFS, I need to throw it over to Harley for this week's Blitzed Podcast News.
Thank you, Steve. Joe Burrow's season is over, and at least the beginning of 2021 is now in question for him as well, as he suffered multiple major injuries to his knee this past Sunday. When asked about the injury following the game, Burrow said that he was thankful that the Bengals did not use the same medical team as the Washington team. Following last week's 68% ownership in their Sunday Millions contest, FanDuel has finally changed Taysom Hill's eligibility to quarterback to match that of DraftKings. So, once again, we have one fewer decent tight end to choose from this week in DFS. Sione Takitaki stepped in front of Miles Sanders to net a picky-picky 60-60 on Carson Wentz this past Sunday. Wentz now leads the league in interceptions thrown this season. Following the game, we asked Wentz about all of the interceptions. His response was that he wouldn't be leading the league right now if Jameis Winston could just hold a job. Both Mark Ingram and J.K. Dobbins tested positive for COVID-19 Monday morning, putting their status for Thursday night in doubt. We reached out to Gus Edwards for comment, but his agent claimed he was unavailable since he was out having dinner at a wet market in Wuhan, China. And finally, Tua Tagovailoa was benched Sunday in favor of Ryan Fitzpatrick. Which leads me to ask the question, when did Miami rehire Adam Gase? This has been your BPN News Update.
So what you don't know is while you were talking, you broke up at the very end. It's almost like the gods were trying to not let you curse Tua and the Jets with Gase again. And the whole Washington team and the doctor thing, that's only funny because it was true.
I mean, two major surgeries botched on two different players in the span of less than a year in Washington. And I mean, again, you can certainly include the issues that the Los Angeles Chargers had with their doctor this year dealing with Tyrod Taylor. But again, that was a different team, different year, different situation. But Washington to have two major surgeries botched, causing infections in two different players, possibly risking Alex Smith's career, possibly even his life when it first happened.
Hey, okay, I don't mean to get political, but I'm going to get political on you. So tell me, which professional team would you rather have? The Washington football team medical staff or Trump's legal team?
Well, they're both a mess right now. So
yeah, I know.
You know what? I will say this. I will choose Trump's legal team only because no matter what, those guys keep fighting till the end.
Very true. You lost. So, and you get a full a lifetime supply of hair dye from Rudy.
Oh, okay.
All right, let's get to football. Okay, for those that may be tuning in for the very first time, no, we don't usually get political. So what happens is when Harley and I do the DFS segments, we don't talk about this in advance, so we don't know what either one thinks. Harley will set a line. I think you should set two lines tonight.
I did, and we should let our listeners know that because of Thanksgiving Day, all of the major DFS sites have a Thanksgiving-only slate, which encompasses all three of those games. So the pool for players in that set is going to be much smaller than the pool for players on a typical millionaire set on Sundays. So
yes,
the likelihood of teams of us matching on our selections on Thursday is much, much higher. So the line for Thursday will be much higher than normal. And then on Sunday's line, obviously, there's still even less players in the pool because of all the Thursday night games, in addition to the regular Sunday and Monday night games,
right,
which are not included. So that pool is also slightly reduced. So the line may be a little higher than normal for that one also.
So what you're going to do is you're going to give me three lines. You're going to give me a line for the Thursday games, a line for the other games, and then a total line so that if one of them is bad and the other one's good, we still might be able to hit an over and under. How's that?
That sounds like a plan.
Okay. Let's go with the Thursday games first. What's your over-under set at?
The Thursday line is set at 8.
I'm taking the under.
Okay.
I think we got a push there. What's the Sunday game line?
6.
Okay. I'm taking the under there, too.
Okay.
And then what's the overall line that you want to set? Is it going to be 14 or are you going to change it a little bit?
Well, since you took the under on both, we'll take the line one down. We'll go to 13 for the overall line.
So if you know anything about me, I like to mitigate risks. So I'm going to hedge and I'm taking the over. So thank you for the point.
Okay.
And I have a feeling that we are not going to get off on a good start here.
Interesting.
So I will let you start off with which quarterback are you paying up for?
We're starting with the Thursday only slate, correct?
Correct. Yes, we're going to do Thursdays only. We'll do Thursday all the way down, top to bottom, and then we'll move to Sundays.
Okay. My pay to play at quarterback this week on Thursday is Deshaun Watson at Detroit. 7,400 on DraftKings, 8,700 on FanDuel. He is far and away the safest play on the slate. And it just so happens that he's also the most expensive player on both sites. All you really need to know about Detroit's secondary was learned back in week one when Mitchell Trubisky threw for 3 touchdowns against them. Deshaun Watson, the whole slate is kind of so-so for quarterbacks this week. His floor and his ceiling are both higher than anyone else available on the slate.
I don't disagree with any of that. So you're like, well, then why didn't you pick him? Because everybody's going to pick him. I went for a guy that's going to be complete boom or bust in a what I believe is a must win, in what I believe will give a team their first loss of the year. I'm going to pay up for Lamar Jackson when everybody else will be avoiding him like the plague.
Well, it's interesting that you mentioned him being avoided like the plague because he is, in fact, my stay away this week.
I had a feeling that might be the case.
With his price so close to that of Watson, I mean, if his price was maybe like another $300-500 down from Watson, I would maybe consider it. But considering where their price tags are in relation to each other, I would need far more security in Jackson. Right now, for me, Jackson is nothing more than a pure contrarian play, yeah, as you suggested, but one that lacks upside.
I think that the upset, we're going to look, if they want to beat Pittsburgh, they're going to have to pull out all the stops. We know that that's something Harbaugh can do. I think we see him run a little bit more. I wouldn't be shocked if he had 50 to 75 rushing yards and multiple touchdowns with his legs. One or two passing TDs, and I think he pays off well. The guy I'm staying away from probably doesn't have the worst matchup. Somebody might try to push him in there to save a little money, and he is at home. But again, I don't think home and away really plays that much this year. I'm staying away from Andy Dalton against that Washington football team.
Yeah, I'm not playing Andy Dalton either. I think that it's not the well, Washington actually has the best defense of any of those four against the quality of quarterback he's facing. So, I mean, obviously, Pittsburgh's defense is very good, but they're facing a very talented quarterback in Lamar Jackson. Baltimore has a very good defense, but they're facing a very talented quarterback in Ben Roethlisberger. Dalton, mediocre quarterback, facing a very good defense.
Yep.
Not a good play. I absolutely agree with that. If his price tag was higher, I would say that he's the easy stay away. He's a stay away either way.
And you could tell people who your value play is because we're going to match on this one.
Well, my value play is going to be in that very same game. It's going to be Alex Smith going against Dallas. Smith's passing yardage has looked much better than his total passing touchdowns since taking over for Washington. But he should be able to do both against a bad Dallas secondary that's letting mundane quarterbacks this season look like stars. I mean, we're talking guys like Kirk Cousins and Gardner Minshew throwing for Minshew had three touchdowns against them. Cousins had two or three touchdowns this past weekend. The defense isn't good. They've got holes everywhere, and
yep.
Smith should do just enough to be a value play at 5,400 on DraftKings, 6,700 on FanDuel.
And that is our first match of the week. I knew that if there was one match we were going to have this week when I went through this, that was the play that I knew it would definitely be a match. Who are you paying up for at running back? This was tough in my mind.
Well, so this is very weird for me. The player I'm paying up for at running back is not my favorite running back play of the week. I'm going to pay up for Ezekiel Elliott versus the Washington football team. Now I say that, I actually think that Antonio Gibson will do more in this game than Ezekiel Elliott. But his price just isn't as high as Zeke's. And Zeke is going to perform well as well. And considering the few decent running backs to choose from this week on this slate, you pretty much have to buy two of them to fill out your DFS lineup. You can choose if you want to go with a third or not in the flex slot. But, I mean, you've got to have two. So it's going to be Zeke and it's going to be Gibson. You're going to have both of them in your roster. They're both going to be 100% owned. But Zeke is just more expensive, so he's technically my pay-to-play.
So we don't match there. My pay-up is Duke Johnson. He is the he's the fifth highest player on the board this week. He faces a Lions team that for the season has given up, I think, the ninth most points to running backs, fantasy points to running backs. But over the past 3 weeks, they've given up the third most. I don't love Zeke's matchup against that Washington team. Yeah, they're all going to feed him, and that's something. But at being the most expensive guy, I like Antonio Gibson also, honestly. But I just think that Duke is a slightly safer and better play this week.
Well, it's actually at Duke's price, I don't think he's high enough, but it's not really that far off the big guys.
Right.
But yes, I mean, I agree. Duke Johnson is the third best running back option this week because the third highest priced running back this week, at least on DraftKings, is James Conner, and he's my stay away. Even when Pittsburgh gives James Conner enough touches to be considered a running back one, what do? They give Benny Snell the freaking ball inside the 5-yard line to vulture his touchdown away. You know, Baltimore's defense is missing some pieces in the middle, and they may give Conner a few fits this week still. But here's the thing. Is Pittsburgh even going to give Conner a full workload? He hasn't been getting a full workload. They're playing five wide when they're up 22 points in the fourth quarter against bad teams. I just don't feel safe playing Conner in any format, especially when his price is the exact same as Gibson's.
I don't disagree with you. I don't disagree with you at all. However, because I left Zeke on the board, being the highest priced guy, yes, he's my stay away.
Interesting. what are you going to do with that extra $2,500 to $3,000 that you don't spend on a roster this week?
I'm okay with that. You don't always have to spend all your money.
That's true. That's true.
And we need to talk about that in one of the upcoming weeks, one of our other shows.
It's absolutely the truth.
You know, what I like to try and do is I actually like to build my roster without looking at dollars first, then go to it and say, okay, where am I high or where am I low? And I'm not sure what just happened there, but Skype just did something to us. So I don't know if it recorded that.
It was very weird. If it did,
oh, well, we're just going to roll with it. Anyway, maybe that's something we could talk about later. Sorry. Let's move on to, and I think we're going to match on our value play here too. Who's your value play at running back?
Well, so I almost went with Antonio Gibson as my value play because his price is very much a value. I almost went with Duke Johnson because I think that he is a great value.
But
the guy that I'm rostering as my third option in pretty much every roster this week is Gus Edwards at Pittsburgh. You know, I don't love the matchup, but he has zero competition for this week with both J.K. Dobbins and Mark Ingram likely out with the COVID. It's a run-first team. Pittsburgh has actually given up serviceable lines to every single running back one they've faced over the last 5 weeks, including Edwards back in Week 8. In that game, Edwards and Dobbins combined for 31 carries, 200 yards, and one touchdown just on the ground. His price is only $4,000 on DraftKings, $5,200. Again, I don't love the play, but again, you go for volume. You go for potential at the value spot. Gus Edwards is that play this week.
So you're right. $4,000 with the COVID news. Don't hate the play. But the play that I love is a stack. And I really thought you were going to go there. How can you not play J.D. McKissic and the 36 targets that he's going to get this week?
You know, I thought about it, but I looked at Dallas. And much like this past week, where I told people to play Antonio Gibson and not J.D. McKissic, is because Dallas, much like their opponent this past week, is actually very good against pass-catching running backs. They've allowed very few catches and yards to pass-catching backs, while they have given up a lot more yards to guys on the ground.
So, yeah, I get that. But you know what? I don't know that matters. This game this past weekend was a weird game. Okay, there's no doubt about that. It was a weird game, especially when you get Burrow that gets hurt. Alex Smith is going to lean on him if he needs to, and I think he's going to need to because Dallas does have a pretty good pass rush. So I think that bodes well for McKissic this week.
Agreed. I mean, I think there's actually more value plays this week at running back that, again, if I didn't feel like if we had a larger pool to choose from, at least at the wide receiver position, maybe I'd consider a couple of these value plays at running back in a major GPP. But again, there just isn't a ton to choose from at wide receiver either. And there's very, very little to choose from at tight end this week. So it's like, I mean, teams are going to be stacked this week in this format. So we're going to have a situation where teams are going to be, players are going to be at like 65, 70% ownership. So, with the exception of in the major GPPs, you're going to really need to dig the well to find some possible differentiation.
I wouldn't mind having a lineup that's got Duke, McKissic, and Gus, or Duke, Gibson, and Gus, or even McKissic and Gibson and Duke. I don't mind those.
And you know what? I could agree with that, except for the fact that I don't know how many scores Washington will actually put out. I mean, Dallas is bad, but does Washington have more than three touchdowns in them?
Oh, that's a good question. It's Thursday, short week. I think that could benefit the offenses over the defenses, so we'll see.
It should. It definitely should, and that's an important thing. Although, when you think back historically to Thursday night football games,
normally
they've often been much lower scoring.
That they have, and I'm just contrarian this week.
That's how you win money in GPPs, is by being contrarian in the right spots.
You want to know how contrarian I am? It probably comes back to the holiday. Give me ham over turkey. There you go. That's contrarian.
How about Cornish game hen?
Too much work. Give me ham. Honey glazed ham for the win. for the win. All right, let's run on over to the wide receiver spot. I think we're going to match on our very first one here. I feel really good about taking my under because I've already got it locked in.
Well, I'm going to go with the highest priced wide receiver on the board, much like I did with the highest price. It's Terry McLaurin at Detroit. Detroit has actually been better against the pass than they have versus the run, but not really by that much. And they have particularly struggled with opposing wide receiver ones. Meanwhile, Terry has been absolutely a beast for the last month and a half. It's going to continue here in what is the obvious stack if you choose Alex Smith. And again, if you're playing in a format like on Fanball where you can have two quarterbacks, I love the Deshaun Watson along with Alex Smith stack, in which case then you can use Deshaun's top receiver, a guy like Will Fuller or Brandon Cooks, as well as Alex Smith with his top receiver, Terry McLaurin.
And for people that are scratching their head going, what did he, you said Detroit, you meant Dallas, just so everybody knows. We know that they're playing Dallas.
Yes, yes,
that's
yes.
You meant. So, well, we matched.
I don't know what I got Detroit there. I mean, yeah, no, Dallas is actually worse than Detroit against the pass. So,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, no, we matched there. I agree with you. I thought that was an easy pickoff to have McLaurin as the pay-up. Who are you staying away from?
I had a much harder time with this.
I did too. I actually wrote a name down and crossed it out.
And the guy I'm staying away from, I don't actually really hate. I'm staying away from Juju Smith-Schuster versus Baltimore. It's always tough to choose who is the worst option of the three Steelers to go with. First off, it's at home, so that's a positive for the Steelers. And it isn't a great matchup because Baltimore has shut down pretty much every wide receiver they faced all season. But Juju appeared slightly gimpy last week after stepping on a penalty flag. Now, I'm expecting that Pittsburgh will score a couple passing touchdowns this week. So we have to decide, okay, between the three of them, which two are going to have a touchdown? And this week, I feel like it's going to be Claypool because Baltimore has actually had more issue with taller outside receivers. And I also like Deontay just because he's been so red hot and his targets are through the roof. If there's a guy from that threesome I'd leave on the bench, it's Juju. But again, it's not a horrible match, but it's just the least of the three.
Well, here's the problem. We match. So Juju's probably going to have 12 catches for 183 yards with three touchdowns. No, I wrote down Juju first, and then I was like, no, but he's – I don't – man. And I was like, okay, how about Deontay? And I'm like, nope, I crossed him off real quick. I was like, there's no way. If there's one of those two guys that's going to have the bad day, it's Juju.
Well, the only way Deontay has a bad day is if he gets hurt.
But that's always a possibility, and we're on a short
week.
That's
always a possibility.
We're on a short week, and the bodies are a little bit fatigued, right? All that kind of stuff plays into it. But we have our second match because I do have Juju as my stay away.
Well, we actually have three matches because we also have Alex Smith, but yeah.
Oh, that's right, Terry. I forgot about Terry. That's why. Yep, two wide receivers so far and one quarterback, so we're at three. I think we may have a match for our value play at wide receiver, which is a tough thing to do.
Well, so I bounced around a couple different names here. I originally had written down Steven Sims, trying to get as much access to that game as possible.
Yeah.
Crossed him out, thought about Randall Cobb as a sneaky secondary option for Deshaun Watson, crossed him out.
Yep.
Would love to see Danny Amendola active this week, but we don't know if he's going to or not. He's coming off a hip injury, just like Galladay.
Yep.
Now, what I decided is, let's say that Amendola doesn't play.
Yeah.
That's going to leave targets for either James Agnew, who is not on my list here. I inadvertently left him off. Or my pick, which is Marvin Hall at 3,900 on DraftKings, 5,100 on FanDuel. It all comes down to if Amendola and Galladay both are out, Hall will have second fill role to Marvin Jones, which means he's going to get the lesser of the two cornerbacks for Houston. Houston's defense is bad enough as it is, so I think he'll do just fine.
Everywhere you were going, I thought we had a match. Everything you said.
So you're going to go with Quintez Cephas, right?
Yes, yes, I am. I looked at both of the Sims boys, honestly. I looked at Marvin Hall. I even looked at a quiet surprise game by Dez Bryant.
I totally thought about Dez Bryant, too.
And then I settled in. I was like, I just don't buy that. I don't think Kenny's going to play this week. I think they'll keep him out one more week at least. Cephas is the guy. I thought you were going down that road. You broke the streak.
Oh, you know what? So for me personally, I would just love it if Amendola played. Because one thing in particular is that Houston has really struggled with slot receivers this year. So I really, really wanted to go that route. Like, I just don't trust he's going to play.
That is the problem, yes. So I'm with you on that. So, look, we've got different players, but our thought process is the same. There's something to exploit there. So look at all three of those guys, and if, you know, Amendola happens to be active, maybe you want to pivot to him.
Exactly. If this is one of those games where if Amendola is active, he's going to be targeted like 14 times. Yeah. So consider him severely if he plays.
I would not disagree with that.
Tight end.
Yes.
Who are you paying up for?
Well, I think there's only one player to pay up for. They're all actually almost low enough to be considered value plays in a sense. I'm paying up for T.J. Hockenson this week, kind of the same reason that we're talking about Amendola and Cephas and Marvin Hall. Somebody's got to catch the damn ball in Detroit.
We have a match there. When Galladay has missed time, none of those guys has benefited quite as much as Hockenson. And you know what? Houston's actually fared pretty good against tight ends recently. But at the start of the season, they were bottom five against tight end for like the first 5 weeks. So they've gotten progressively better. But they've also not really faced any like high-end tight ends in the last couple weeks. So consider that a bit of a fake flag, so to speak, on the improvement of that defense against the tight end position. Hockenson will get fed a lot if Galladay is not out there. He'll get fed a lot if Amendola isn't out there. And he's probably just the better play than my stay away.
Yep.
With slightly higher, which is Mark Andrews at Pittsburgh.
Yes, we match there.
Andrews didn't do very much against Pittsburgh back in week 8. And when looking at how Pittsburgh has fared against tight ends all season, the only tight end to really do anything against them was Noah Fant. So again, I mean, yeah, they haven't faced a ton of superstar tight ends, but Andrews got his day in week 8 and didn't do a whole lot. I don't think he's going to do much here either.
How about 5 catches, 120 yards, and 2 touchdowns for Hollywood Brown? I got to play up my Lamar pick.
Is he going to get 5 targets?
That is all he's going to get, and he's got to catch them all.
So that means that everyone should play Devin Duvernay.
Yeah, definitely. All right, I think we're going to match here too, unless you get really sneaky and go with Jordan Atkins or something like that as your value play. I really think there's only one answer from a value play standpoint.
Yeah, I consider Jordan Atkins. Obviously, he kind of took back the lead role there in Houston, but I went with Logan Thomas for the 3rd straight week as my value play because the sites refused to raise his price any higher.
So I did not go with Logan Thomas, believe it or not. I went the other way, and I went with Dalton Schultz.
Dalton Schultz, yeah.
And it's simply because I think that he's more integrated into that offense where, you know, there's a lot of players there. But he had involvement. I think he's a safer play as a value play.
I could go either way there. I like them both. And I think that if you don't go Hockenson, I would go one of those two. I like Akins. I think Akins has a great matchup in his game against Detroit. But I'm concerned that, I mean, they're still involving Fells in the offense. It's not like Fells has completely disappeared off the face of the earth.
Right.
And they also still have several good wide receivers there, too. So, again, I mean, Thomas or Schultz, you're fine with either of those two as your value play. Thomas did score and have 4 catches for 60 yards in the earlier meeting, so there's that working in his favor. Again, you may not want to have every single member of the Washington passing offense because, again, as bad as Dallas is, how many touchdowns is Alex Smith going to lead this team to? Again, I don't think it's going to be more than 3. And one of those will probably go to Antonio Gibson on the ground.
Yeah. Thomas was my diversification from away from the Washington offense.
I can totally see where you're going with that, and I agree totally.
All right, so we had a number of 5. So the under hit there. I'm sitting here looking at my answers, and I took the under on 6, and I think that could have been a mistake. I think we could actually hit 8 here. How's that? But I'm still
Wow.
I'm going to stick with my under. But go ahead and start us off. And again, this is the Sunday slate. Who are you paying up for at quarterback?
I'm going to pay up for Super Patrick. Mahomes' numbers look kind of down Sunday night because KC actually chose to run the ball against a putrid Raiders run defense. I still believe, given the choice, though, KC would just put four players wide on every single down and just let Pat pick and choose who he wants to throw to every play. In Tampa Bay, they're really impossible to run against. They've got arguably the second best run defense in football behind Indianapolis. So passing every down against Tampa Bay actually makes some sense. You know what? Tampa has weapons of their own to keep the game close. So it's not going to be a blowout for KC, which means that Mahomes will have every reason to keep throwing the ball all game.
So I don't disagree with that. It's not my play. We don't match. I'll tell you part of the passing game that, and I agree with you about Andy just wanting to line them up and run them down the field over and over and over and over. I'm surprised that they don't and haven't used Edwards-Helaire more in the passing game, more in that Brian Westbrook type role. That's probably the biggest shock that I have right now. And, you know, I keep waiting. Maybe it's something that he's saving for the playoffs.
Well, they did do that a little bit in the first couple weeks. And I think what happened was there was a little concern about his pass protection. And that's why they started using Darrell Williams a little bit more in that role. And then obviously they brought in Le'Veon Bell, who has extensive experience as a pass catching back. So he started to get a little bit more love in that spot. Now, Bell hasn't seen the snaps the last few weeks, but I think going forward, we're going to see more of Edwards-Helaire basically set out maybe on the, in the slot lined up, particularly if Brian Pringle is not available to play this week. That takes away one of their depth wide receivers.
True.
But we might see more passes going to Edwards-Helaire, but I don't think that there's going to be enough this season. Now, going into next season, I fully expect them to use him a lot in the passing game.
Yep. Okay, so we don't match there because I'm going to play Josh Allen this week at quarterback. Again, I like his legs. He catches a Chargers team that on the season is sixth in points allowed to the fantasy quarterback position over the last 3 weeks. They're like seventh, so they're very consistent. Coming off of a bye, fresh, ready to go. I think you could see him push two touchdowns in with his legs. So if you're a Singletary or a Moss owner, not good for you. Maybe even not good for Diggs. But yeah, I think we see Allen pick up and try to make that push towards the end of the year for that MVP. And it'll be positive for fantasy and DFS.
I actually do like Josh Allen as a play this week too. And the only reason I chose Mahomes is because I thought their prices were a little too close. They're only 400 apart on both sites.
Yeah.
And I feel that Mahomes has a slightly higher ceiling than Allen. Again, if it was like an $800 or $900 difference, then I definitely choose Allen there. Because again, I think that Allen's got a great ceiling as well this week, just not quite as high as Mahomes's.
And see, that's where you get people get two different looks at it. I looked at it from he's only 400 bucks cheaper, and I feel that his legs will be a benefit. So I'm taking a $400 credit I could push elsewhere if I need to. So that's just two different ways to look at it. I'm not sure that we're going to stay away from the same guy, but I think we might. I'd put this at about 60-40. Who are you staying away from?
Well, I decided to not take the easy route and pick Kyler Murray, who may be limited somewhat by his shoulder injury. I decided to go for a guy in the same game that we were just talking about, and that's Justin Herbert. I'm going to stay away from Herbert this week, despite the fact he's arguably one of the hottest quarterbacks in football right now. He is still a rookie traveling east for an early game with one very good wide receiver and a couple of so-so receivers to face a team coming off of a bye with one absolutely elite shutdown cornerback. You know, if Tre'Davious White literally shadows Keenan Allen, that means that Herbert will have to rely on Mike Williams and Hunter Henry to win this game. Are they capable of winning the game with those two? Yeah, but it's not that exciting. Herbert, he's not going to have a floor game. It's not going to be an awful game for him. But there is zero chance in hell that he earns the value of the fourth highest price tag on both sites this week.
So I did look at Herbert. I did not write him down, but I looked at him. And for exactly the reasons that you mentioned, facing a team come off a bye, going east, all that good stuff, right? and the wide receivers and everything else. But I looked at his price tag and I went, well, I'm going to stay away from the guys $1,000 more who may be limited due to his arm, playing a coach that does still know how to stop people.
They got Stephon Gilbert back too.
So I'm staying away from Kyler Murray.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree with that. And if I was 100% certain that his shoulder wasn't a factor, I would have chosen Murray here too. So that's kind of a pseudo match.
So, yeah, but here's what I'm going to tell you now. You're going to give me your value play, and I'm going to tell you we're going to match on the very next. I think we're going to match on three in a row right now. How's that?
Oh, wow. You see, I had a hard time coming up with my value play here.
Really?
Only because there is one player that I would love to play this week as my value play, but I don't know if he's going to play or not.
Okay.
That player that I would love to play this week as my value play, if he does indeed play, is PJ Walker. I am of the firm belief, and as a Minnesota fan, obviously Teddy Bridgewater was here as our quarterback for a few years. PJ Walker looked better leading the Carolina offense than Teddy Bridgewater has looked leading that offense all season. So if, for whatever reason, Teddy Bridgewater does not play in a revenge game, no doubt, against Minnesota, which gives him some value there, and Walker gets to start. I mean, Minnesota's defense, we've made fun of pretty much all year. So
yes.
I would love to be able to play PJ Walker at his price tag next week. He's not the value player I chose, though.
Okay.
I am going to go with Daniel Jones at Cincinnati.
We do not have a match, shockingly.
Cincinnati will be playing out the rest of the season without Joe Burrow. They have no Joe Mixon for the next 2 weeks at least. You know what, Cincy? They've allowed the second most passing touchdowns this year. Daniel Jones isn't a bad quarterback. The whole Giants offense has just been kind of like, eh, what the heck? They haven't been enthusiastic or exciting. But you know what? I feel like this is a good week to start him there. He's got a decent ceiling. He's got all of his weapons. Golden Tate will be traveling with the team this week. He didn't piss anyone off. Sterling Shepard's fully healthy. Darius Slayton is fully healthy. Evan Engram is fully healthy. When's the last time you've been able to say that all four main weapons in the passing game for the Giants will be out in the field at the same time?
Good point. Very good point. But I got to be honest. Okay, so this is really odd. You looked at PJ Walker and wanted him, but said, I can't, because I can't guarantee he's going to start. I looked at Ryan Fitzpatrick and said, but I can't, because I can't be sure that he's going to start. And they're right there next to each other at 54-55,
they really are, yeah.
Right? Yep. So it's really funny that we both looked at it exactly the same. But then you went to Daniel Jones, and I'm sorry, but I don't know how you didn't say Derek Carr. He's $200.
I thought about it. I did think about it.
He's $200 more, which $5,700. I was like, that's not really a bargain. I wanted it to be Baker Mayfield at $5,300, but I think that's a mirage, right?
I totally agree, Baker Mayfield. I looked at Mayfield. I thought that the price tag was a mistake at first.
Yep.
And then I looked a little closer. I'm like, nope, that's the same Baker Mayfield that we've seen all season.
And just you have to worry about the fact that they don't need to throw the ball, right? They won't need to throw the ball.
Their wide receiver options have not looked very good.
Exactly. And that's their skill position players outside of the two running backs, thin. So it's a mirage. And that's why I was like, Derek Carr looked pretty daggone good on Sunday Night Football against the Chiefs. And he gets an Atlanta team that I don't know that they could stop a Pop Warner passing offense.
I did think about that. I thought that maybe Carr would be a little too amped up after last week. But yes, no, he makes a good play this week. And again, he's in that same price range with Jones and Walker and Fitzpatrick too.
So there you go. Nope, we didn't match at all quarterback, which is shocking. So
I thought for sure we were going to match on Justin Herbert myself, but no, I couldn't understand where you went with Kyler Murray again. I would have gone with him if I felt that the shoulder injury could potentially be a non-factor.
So if we don't match on the pay up at running back, we might as well just stop.
Well, so they decided to go ahead and give Delvin Cook Christian McCaffrey pricing this week.
Yes,
11,000 on FanDuel. I mean, come on, man. He is the best running back in football that's healthy right now, and he's facing, arguably, historically speaking, the worst rushing defense at least in the last decade. I don't love that he's got 11,000 for a price tag, but this matchup is so good. Unless Delvin Cook gets hurt, he's still going to reach three times value at 11,000.
Yes. And I'm not playing him on that site because I don't play that site. I tend to look only at the other site, DraftKings, so his price is more palatable there. But yeah, that matchup is just – it's
laughable.
Yes. If he's not chalk, no one's chalk.
Well, the only reason he won't be chalk is because the price tag is so high.
Yeah,
but still, it's like, I mean, again, if the matchup is right, if your player can hit 3X, you take that player at 3X, and it doesn't matter what his price tag is. Now, if you feel for certain that, say, Nick Chubb versus Jacksonville for $2,400 cheaper is also going to hit 3X, that does give you $2,400 to spend elsewhere and maybe get you better someplace else. But 3X for Nick Chubb is 21 points. 3X for Delvin Cook is 28.5 points.
Yep.
So you got to figure out, are you getting 7.5 more points for your difference elsewhere?
Or you pay down for Carr and you pop them both in there.
That would be interesting, yeah.
Or Daniel Jones. You can pay up for your guy too. Okay, so we matched at Dalvin Cook, right?
Yes.
I wrote a name down, and I went, that's who the stay away should be. And I was like, that's a mirage. I think there's somebody that's a little riskier, and I'll make them my stay away instead. So go ahead. Tell me who you stayed away from, and let's see if you pulled it off the same way.
Well, thanks to COVID rescheduling, this individual will be facing this defense for the second time in 3 weeks. In that previous game, he actually topped 100 yards against this defense. And that was Derrick Henry.
Yep.
Now, when you look at the situation, Derrick Henry is the only running back to top 100 yards against Indianapolis all season. He was also held out of the end zone in that game, and he's completely ignored in the passing game. So, you know what? You're counting entirely on him getting that 100 yards and maybe just pushing a touchdown across like Aaron Jones did in really mediocre numbers last week. At 7,900 and 8,300, I just don't want any part of any team facing a defense that gives up 3.5 or less yards per carry. It's not money.
So I wrote Derrick Henry down, and he's who I crossed off. Mm-hmm. Because I think no matter what, he's going to get fed the ball. He's always got a chance to pop off one and just get in the end zone once. And I was like, that'll save his day.
Well, that always pretty much that's been his thing this year, is he gets like that 165, 70-yard run.
Yep.
That makes his line look so much better than it actually was.
Yes. So,
and yes, he did average 5 yards a carry against Indianapolis. Again, the only back this season to top 100 yards against them. But no.
So the guy I'm staying away from, I'm not staying away from because of the defense he's facing. I'm staying away from because I can't trust him with the guy that's under center right now. Taysom Hill killed Alvin Kamara.
He did, didn't he?
I mean, Kamara had one, not catch, one target this past week. One target.
One. I really thought that he would actually be more involved because we figured that Hill would kind of lean on him, dump it off to him.
And he very well may be, but at the price and the risk, I'm passing.
I can agree with you on that. And surprisingly, his price tag is higher than Henry's.
Yes, and that's what made me make the decision to cross Henry off and go with Alvin Kamara as my stay away instead.
Okay.
Who is your value play? I think this is going to be tough, but there's a shot that I'd say about a 30% shot that we match on this.
This was really tough for me. I thought about quite a few different guys, and basically for me, it came down to, with value for me this week, I wanted a guy that was pretty much guaranteed a touchdown. So I went with Todd Gurley versus the Vegas Raiders. Vegas is tied for the most total running back touchdowns of any team on the main slate this week. Meanwhile, Todd Gurley, he's done absolutely nothing this year except score touchdowns. He has 9 touchdowns through 10 games. Now, I will say this. His $6,900 price tag on FanDuel is cost prohibitive. I'm probably not going to use him on FanDuel, but $5,500 on DraftKings makes him right in that sweet spot for value play. I'll be happy if he gets me like 55 yards, maybe 2 or 3 catches for another 20 yards. But what I'm going to love is when he gets at least 1 touchdown against this Vegas defense.
So I can't disagree with that. I'm not a big Gurley guy now, but I can't disagree with that. One of the guys I looked at was Nyheim Hines. But talk about risk, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I think he's somebody worth taking a look at. The other guy that I wound up going with, and there's some injury concerns, you got to make sure that he does play this week and that he practices and he's okay, is Salvin Ahmad. Against the
Jets. He played through most of the game last week despite the injury. So
right, but you just got to make sure that he still looks good through pack practice and stuff like that, doesn't have any setbacks. But he gets the Jets.
Is this the week that Myles Gaskin is due back, or is that next week?
Even if he was due back this week, I still wouldn't trust him week one back, and I think that we could see that, you know, he's already shown that he can, you know, as long as he's, like I said, he's not on the injury report, I think he's safe to go with.
Another player that I did kind of consider, too, someone to think about that will be fairly under-owned, is James White.
Looked at James White, absolutely.
Rex Burkhead is likely out for the season, and what happened was James White was always involved in the Patriots passing game until, like, week 2 of this season when he inexplicably was completely taken out of that, and we all know how Bill Belichick is fickle with his running backs, but he's always had a soft spot for James White. So I was really, really confused why they weren't using him at all. And what was actually happening was that Rex Burkhead was taking a lot of his snaps in the passing game. Well, Burkhead's not going to be on the field this week. Now, they did get Sony Michel back last week. I don't think he played a snap, though. They also still have Damian Harris, who's looked very, very good running the ball. So you're not getting James White thinking he might run the ball a lot, but you know he has the capability in this game against Arizona to catch 6 or 7 passes, maybe for up to like 50, 60 yards. And that could be very good value at 4,500 and 5,400 respectively.
Yeah, I can't say that I would disagree with that. There's a lot of lower level guys too. I looked at it, I was like, God, I don't like that. God, I don't like that. I actually didn't like a lot this week. So, okay. So, yeah, we're through half of this. We've got one match on this side. My under's looking good. Who are you paying up for at wide receiver? And I think that there's a chance we have a match here.
Well, I'm going to stack my pay-up quarterback and my pay-up wide receiver. I'm going to take Tyreek Hill at Tampa Bay. Basically, Tampa has struggled all season long against fast wide receivers. I mean, they made Tim Patrick a thing way back when. This is going to be a shootout. I see Tyreek scoring at least once this week. I actually see there's a good chance he's going to score twice. He might score on the first play of the game. Assuming Casey gets the ball first, I could easily see him throwing a 50-yard pass to him on play one.
So, believe it or not, Tyreek was somebody I almost considered as my stay-away. He did not make my pay-up. He did not make my stay-away play. I'm going to pay up for a part of an offense that seems like it worked as a crutch. And that's Michael Thomas. Taysom Hill coming in didn't seem to affect Thomas and seemed like it was a plus for him. The Broncos aren't a fantastic matchup. They're a middle-of-the-road matchup. But I think we see Taysom still continue to force-feed Thomas. And a couple good weeks in a row, we'll start to see his price climb back up there.
Well, I do agree with you. I like Thomas this week. In fact, there's like 4 receivers right in that same price range that have decent matchups this week. Hill, yeah. Stephon Diggs at home versus the Chargers, Thomas, and Calvin Ridley too, particularly if Julio Jones can't play or is limited because of his injury sustained last week.
Yep, and I looked at doing a stack with Diggs and Josh Allen, but decided to go with Thomas. I think he's got a little more upside this week.
Well, so I didn't take the obvious route in, as far as leaving Kyler Murray on my bench, but I did take the obvious route at wide receiver and left DeAndre Hopkins on my bench.
We have a match.
Again, we mentioned Stephon Gilmore came back last week, so he's probably going to shadow Hopkins this week. And again, Kyler Murray is going to start. There isn't any risk that he's not going to start. What there is a risk, however, is that he gets hit hard at some point and is forced to leave the game. And that really leaves no skin on the bone for Hopkins then.
Yes, agreed. And we have a match there. I'm stacking my stayaways. But yes, I agree with you that even if you don't stay away from Kyler, that Hopkins is a guy that this is not the week for him.
Yes. I mean, if I was going to choose someone from that wide receiver core this week, it'd be Christian Kirk and not Hopkins.
And I'd honestly rather just stay away from that game if I can help it. So
I agree.
I think we got a chance to match. I keep saying this. I think we have a chance to match at the value play. I did write somebody down and crossed them out. Looked at another teammate of that person's and didn't write them down, but really gave them consideration. So I'm curious to see what you say.
Well, I thought there was a lot of good values this week. I mean, Curtis Samuel is a great value. I'm almost upset that I didn't choose him because I think whether it's Bridgewater or Walker, Samuel is going to be highly involved in the offense. I thought about the Giants receivers. I thought about the stack there. But the guy I ultimately went with has been trending in the right direction the last couple weeks. He scored last week for the first time. He's led his team in receiving yards each of the last 3 weeks. Meanwhile, over the last 4 weeks, his opponent has allowed the second most receptions and the third most receiving yards to opposing wide receivers. I'm going to go with the rookie Michael Pittman versus Tennessee.
We have a match. So
how about that?
Yep, Pittman was the first name I wrote, and then I went, wait a minute. Let me see. I love to exploit this Atlanta Falcons defense. And I said, where's Nelson Aguilar? I was like, oh, he's only $100 less. Oh, where's Henry Ruggs? Ruggs could have a really big game. Mm-hmm. And Ruggs is the name I wrote down. And I'm looking at him. I'm like, nah, I can't do it. Ruggs has some upside, but there's so much more risk. I think that the payoff is so much safer. The floor is so much higher. And the upside's higher with Pittman, or as high. So that's why I landed on Pittman as my value play.
Again, this is a week where you can get some great values in at the wide receiver position, which is going to allow you to pay up at quarterback and running back. That's kind of why I felt fine spending big money at running back this week. Guys like Jamison Crowder has a decent matchup. Miami has two great outside cornerbacks, but neither of them ever travel to cover the slot. You've got a guy like Samuel, again, we just mentioned there. Sterling Shepard facing Cincinnati. In that same game, you could see T. Higgins. Now, obviously, it depends on who James Bradbury decides to shadow. I assume it's going to be Tyler Boyd. That's going to leave a lot for Higgins to go with there. You could easily roster a three wide receiver set and have none of them be priced higher than $5,500.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, so here's where we are. We're at the tight end position. We have three spots left. We have three matches. If you run the table, we push. I think there's good odds of us running the table. There's one spot that I think is the most challenging, and it will be the last spot. It's the value play. So go ahead and tell people who are going to match on at the tight end spot.
I'm going to pay up for the highest priced tight end on the board, Travis Kelce at Tampa Bay. Now, I went over this in my head all day. I went back and forth between paying a little bit less for Darren Waller.
Yeah.
And then I decided, nope, I'm just going to pay the extra for Travis Kelce. It's not that much more. Over the last 4 weeks, no team has allowed more tight end scores than Tampa Bay. Plus, Travis Kelce leads the position in every significant statistical category. He has topped 70 yards and or scored in every week except for one this season. He has posted a ridiculous 26 catches, 395 yards, and two touchdowns over his last three games. Those three games span over a span of 4 weeks from week 8 to week 11, which includes their bye. Over that same stretch, Kelce has six more receptions and 184 more receiving yards than the next closest tight end, including all of the tight ends that didn't have a bye during that span.
So, no, we don't match.
Because you went with Waller.
Because I went with Waller because he was a little bit – he's cheaper. And I
literally spent all day trying to convince myself to put Waller down, and every time I did, I just kept going. It's like, no, I can't. The difference is is that much more.
Well, and guess what? By not agreeing there, we're definitely not going to agree on the stay away now, because guess who I'm staying away from?
You're staying away from Kelsey?
I'm staying away from Kelsey due to the price.
You know, I could see an argument for that. In fact, I almost thought about putting them both as pay to play and stay away for that same reason.
Yeah.
But, I'm staying away from Janu Smith. 4,100 on DraftKings isn't too high, but he's 6,000 on FanDuel. That's just not right. No, that Janu scored last week. It's the second TD in three games, which is promising. But he still shared duties with Anthony Firkser. In fact, Smith has posted no greater than four catches or 32 yards in each of his last six games. You know, over that same six-game stretch, 27 different tight ends have produced more catches and more yards than Janu.
Well, that's
27.
I can't argue that that's not a bad stay away.
Including guys who aren't even active anymore, like George Kittle and Albert Agwabuikum.
And if you look at him just strictly on DraftKings, you're like, hey, he's like $4,000. What the hell do I got to stay away from him for? 4,100. But I get it. Trust me, I get it. I really did. I thought we were going to have a Waller-Kelsey match right there, but it is what it is. let's see if we can nail it on a good note. It's going to hit the under no matter what, but who is your value play?
I went with Irv Smith versus Carolina. Adam Thielen was just placed on the COVID restricted list today. If for whatever reason he can't be cleared by Sunday, Smith would get to be option two in the Minnesota passing game. Over the last 4 weeks, Carolina has allowed the most receptions and the most receiving yards to opposing tight ends. They've also allowed the second most receiving touchdowns in that span, too. Irv Smith is clearly option two for Kirk Cousins if Adam Thielen doesn't play.
So, no, we don't match. I paid more for my for my value play than I probably should have, honestly. And for the season, I think that the team is giving up their the seventh most points to fantasy tight end position. I'm going to pay up. My value play is going to be Noah Fant.
He was the other guy I considered until I saw the 5,700 on FanDuel and decided it was a little too much.
I told you. I lean with a left eye to the DraftKings column when you send these to me.
Yeah, no, I actually did think about Fant. I think he's got a good matchup there against New Orleans. New Orleans has been beaten by opposing tight ends. Here's an argument to be made. This might be the week to play double tight end and play Kelsey and Waller, as their combined price on DraftKings is $13,000. Buy three $5,000 to $6,000 wide receivers. Ignore all those high-priced guys. And then you'll still be looking pretty tasty.
Yeah, there's no denying that. A guy I wanted to like, there's a couple that I wanted to like and just couldn't do it, couldn't sell myself on the matchups. I wanted to like Trey Burton, but but it's just not that good of a matchup, and he's just not consistent enough. And then I also wanted to like, since he's healthy still, I think, I wanted to like Jordan Reed, but I just don't like that matchup really much at all. So that's why I wound up saying, you know what, I'm going to go with Fant, and I think that he can cash in for us.
I think that it's interesting that we came up with so many different players, particularly in the Thursday-only slate, which gives some hope to there being some level of differentiation between lineups there. Again, know that there will be a lot of teams rostering players at 55 to 65% ownership. It's not odd. It's a small slate. But it's a slate that can make you money nevertheless. So go out there and play. It'll be interesting to see this season with people forced to stay at home if they'll have more time on Thursday to set lineups. So maybe we'll see more of the mega users submitting more lineups than normal on a Thanksgiving or a small slate. But even if they do, I still like our chances to make some money this year.
And I guess I should have followed my own, idea of I went under and then I took the over to be contrarian, right, to try and hedge. We definitely hit the under, and the over that I picked on over 13, of course, was an under, because all we had total was eight matches, and that was the line that you set for the Thursday game. So
yes,
hey, we gave people something different to think about, which is always a good thing. Harley, before I let you go, before I give them all the specifics, etc., hope you have a very happy Thanksgiving. Safe, full, fill your belly, eat some good food and all that good stuff. Get some relaxation, make some money on DFS, And of course, we'll do it again next week. For those that want to, they can, of course, and they should follow Harley on Twitter at Nuclear Harley. You can follow me at Steve Gallo NFL. And look, at this point, if you haven't signed up for the huddle, we probably can't help you. But if not, do it. Do it. Treat yourself to an early Christmas present. Get yourself some help heading towards the playoffs.
Buy your friend a membership for next season. That's a great Christmas gift.
As long as they're not in your league. And you know, really, that's truly all I can say is you don't want your friends in your leagues to know about us, but they probably do anyway. So, yeah, be a nice guy and then just beat them anyway. So with that, I just want to make sure we say to everybody, have a happy, healthy, safe Thanksgiving. And until next week, mask up. Cheers.